This interview is being recorded as part of a series for the Australian Garden History Society's National Oral History Project. My name is John Mora. It's an interview with Sir Owen Croft and is recorded in St Leonards, New South Wales on Tuesday, the 24th of April, 2018. This interview is number 3 of a series. Owen, thank you for agreeing to continue with this series of interviews. Yesterday you mentioned that you'd been involved in a number of organisations, and one of which was the Garden History Society. I understand the first meeting of the Garden History Society in Northern New South Wales branch was held at Salisbury Court, your home.
Yes. For my sins, I was elected chairman. I'm a be awful chairman. I like working behind the scenes.
Yes.
So I'm not a driver, and that's been my weakness all the way along. Mm-hmm. Well realised. Peter Principle comes into play. So the initial one was I was the chairman and Sally was the secretary. And I think our first was the Heritage Rose Growers came up. And we had a raffle, and I think that's where we got a bit of money, and that's how we started.
Yes.
And then...
started the Northern New South Wales sub-branch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that was where the initial funding came from, mm-hmm. I think. And then when we had the Garden History Conference up there, that was when we really got money, and that was the beginning of Songhurst.
That was 2013.
So that was when we really got firing.
And I think quite an amount of money was made as a result of the optional day trip to gardens, significant gardens to the north of Armidale.
There was quite a lot of money anyway. It was enough to kick off Somers.
My memory is that it was about $20,000.
Something like that, yeah.
And I think that we were successful in getting a grant of $5,000 from the National Garden History Body. And we matched that dollar for dollar.
Yeah.
And initially, the first roses for the garden were donated by Catherine McLean.
Yes, McLean.
So the money enabled edging for garden beds and for gravel paths.
Yes.
And
we must have got some other funding, because at a rough guess, that part of the gardens cost nearly $100,000.
I would think so.
At least.
Yes.
I mean, if you price in the work of the volunteers.
Mm, and I think that was judged at or estimated at about $25 an hour.
So to get as far as we've got, as quickly as we've got, is quite remarkable.
Well, the first sod was turned in 1913, before the Garden History Conference in October.
Yeah.
And during that time, I think there was a donation of some $2,000 from the Heritage Rose Society.
Yes, we got funds from them.
Yes, to provide signage for the garden.
Yeah.
And now stage one is effectively complete.
There's still bits and pieces.
Still some roses.
Nothing much to be done. I mean, the remarkable thing is how few roses we lost.
Yes. In the transfer from Catherine McLean's garden.
Yeah, well, planting generally. I mean, we've had some stinking hot, dry season, mm-hmm. and I doubt if we lost more than 10 or 15 roses.
That's quite remarkable, isn't it?
That's a remarkable part.
Mm.
Even with the early days without water.
Mm.
So that's just one of those sites. Everything goes right.
And roses, modern roses, are regarded as being fairly temperamental creatures.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there were no modern ones in that early...
Heritage roses are far more robust.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But they've done the rotunda on the new part with new roses, and they've gone like steam too. So.
Now, they're largely, at least the central ones, are Alistair Clark and Frank Creekmuller roses. And both of those men lived not far from St Leonard's. They were up around the Tarramurra area.
To drag them up. See if we can get something out of them.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting. I've got no knowledge of what's going in from here on. But I think that's going to be the important part, that we'll have modern roses plus the old ones, and we'll be able to give cuttings to people, or sell cuttings to people,
yes,
not give,
yes,
from all the range of the rose.
Yes.
Thing. It'll be, it's, it could be a huge part of the garden.
Yes.
As long as they can arrange to get the money back out of the National Trust.
Now, the modern roses you refer to, I think, are those going into stage two.
Yeah.
And apart from the Australian bred roses, there are going to be examples in a number of different beds of either species roses on the trellises outside, yeah, or roses grown by, or significant roses grown by international,
yeah,
growers.
Yes.
Some of the,
yeah,
best examples,
yeah,
of them.
And that's going to be important, to have them all in the one, in the one area.
Mm.
So, I mean, I can see the, potting up rose cuttings is going to be a major job, but I mean, it'll be a major income out there too.
Yes.
And that'll make it important for people coming through, they'll be able to do it. And the fact that they're talking about bringing some roses out on the highway in the roundabout.
This is the new roundabout, south of Armidale.
Yeah, just going in. That'll be another way of bringing people in, I mean, the local. Baker looks after all the plants and gardens and so forth in Armidale. So there are no rugosa roses in Armidale, so he's being led round by the nose and pointed to. But I think Lynn's come to Sydney to talk to the RTA. So.
This is Lynn Walker.
Yes.
And I think the Rose Roundabout was one of her ideas.
Yes.
And she's driven it.
And she's still driving
with it. With passion.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Yes, it'll be, it's going to be a very big roundabout, so the rugosa don't require much work, which means we won't have to go on to that island. That's the part that worried me, but people working there with a major highway going around.
Yes.
But anyway,
yes,
that's a small part of it.
Am I right in thinking that members of the Garden History Society have volunteered to plant and take care of the roses?
Oh, yes. And that's been, I mean, that's been the strength of it. We haven't, the only outside people have been A, preparing the ground for certainly the second stage. We've had the Backtrack Boys putting the gravel down.
Yes, tell me about the Backtrack Boys.
Well, the Backtrack, I can't think of his name now, are kids that have fallen off the education thing. Mm. They're in trouble. And this chap got working with them, and the first thing he does is he gives them a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they're responsible for that pup, and they have to rear it. So that means they've got a responsibility which they probably never had before.
So they're given a dog when it's very young.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they look after it. And from that, they've trained their dogs up, and they now have go around doing exhibitions of dogs jumping up over obstacles, and they're the Australian champions. And then from that, they started looking for jobs for them. And they go out and do fencing, and there were big floods up at Tenterfield, and they took a team up there, and they fenced for weeks. And they virtually got the freedom of the city as a result, because everybody was so delighted with them. And as a result, that probably 90% of these kids never go back into trouble. Most of them find jobs as a result of this. They do have education facilities for them.
Yes.
And it's been a marvellous thing.
Yes.
And the Armidale's juvenile stuff dropped considerably as a result of this.
Juvenile crime?
Crime, yeah.
Mm.
It's been quite noticeable.
Mm.
And the kids have been given an opportunity. They've got pride in themselves.
Mm.
And away they go. Mm. And some of them are back now instructing.
Really?
Yeah. So that's how far it's gone. No government funding as far as I can see. But they cut firewood for sale.
Yes.
That's one of the things. But they're taught the environmental things, so they only cut certain trees down, and they know when to do them and how to do them. So they're taught that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, the fellow who got this going, his first name was Bernie, wasn't it?
Bernie Shakeshaft.
Okay.
So he's been brilliant. and it's become quite a big organisation, and I think it's starting to spread around the state. As long as they can keep government out of it, it'll be right.
Yes. Now, I understand the state governor has an interest in this. He was made aware of the program.
I'm sure he has, because they've been, even in Canberra, they've been done on display.
Yes.
In Canberra, so they've been pretty good. People are aware of it pretty well everywhere.
Okay.
And they're doing a lot of this emergency fencing and things like that.
Yeah.
And people are starting to use them for bits and pieces, as we did when they put all the gravel down.
Yes, in the Heritage Rose Garden.
Rose Garden. And quite fascinating, because one morning I was there, and two of the young ones, about 11:30, said, "We're sick of this, we're going back to town." And they got about 300 yards, and somebody yelled out, "There's pies and pasties for lunch here, boys." And I'm back. I mean, he must have the patience of Job to handle these kids.
But he